Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks to Fitness, episode 104. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode is brought to you by Body Sculpt of New York and the Children's Sports and Fitness Expo. Join us on Saturday, June 24th, along with Detroit Pistons forward Tobias Harris for the 14th annual Children's Sports and Fitness Expo at PS 92 in Brooklyn. For more information, visit www.bodysculpt.org or call 718-346-5852. Lynette Tischel is an actress and writer who hails from Prince George's County, Maryland. She studied theater arts and received her BFA from Howard University. After performing on stages in the D.C. metropolitan area and touring as the lead character in The Bluest Eye in the Dominican Republic, she moved to Los Angeles, California, and has split her time between performing on screen for both film and television. Lynette is often cast as the funny girl who's cute, and while those roles have been her signature, 2017 has already ushered in roles that are casting her against type. Lynette is especially excited to portray the role of Coco in the erotically thrilling True Story of the Providers, directed by talented Queen Sugar writer Denise Harkavy. She is equally excited to show off her talents as actress, writer, and producer in her biggest project to date, Illicit, which will receive its theatrical debut in 2017. Lynette can be seen most recently as a comedic character Wednesday in the 2015 feature film Sister Code, directed by Cory Grant, and you can catch her as Aquino and her supporting role in the award-winning film Love Addict by Cherise Orchard. She also plays the comedic character of Shanita in The Fox Show alongside Kim Coles and Erica Alexander. I am really thrilled and happy to have Lynette Tischel on my 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. Lynette, how are you?
I am great. I'm so excited to be here talking with you.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the show. There's so many other places you could be right now, you know?
Well, this is my pick right here. So.
Well, we're happy to have you. But let's start by finding out a little bit more about you before we talk about your career, okay?
Sure. What do you want to know?
I want to know, not just me, but my listeners, we want to know, what was it like growing up in Prince George's County, Maryland?
Oh, okay. So, PG County, Maryland. It's something that I wouldn't trade for anything. I loved growing up in PG County because it put me right there in Maryland. It gave me 12-minute access to D.C., and I could pretty much just kind of get around and, you know, and do everything I wanted. I got to see the city, then I got to be a little bit more at peace at home. But growing up in PG for me, I didn't realize how amazing it was until I moved away, because I right now live in LA. And in PG, at one point we were ranked, I guess, like the number one African-American affluent community. So everybody that I knew was, you know, not everybody, but most of the people were African-American and they were doing well. So the expectation that was set for me from the very, very beginning is you can be anything. You know, you can be a black doctor, a banker, a lawyer. You can. And I have reflections of it all around me. And it wasn't until I came out into Los Angeles where I was like, wow, I'm a minority. I didn't grow up that way.
Wow. Interesting perspective. Wow. Did you come from a large family?
Kind of a large family. Well, I'm the oldest of four. So, you know, it just depends on who you ask. I know some people got nine brothers and sisters.
Yes,
but
yes.
Yeah, I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest of four kids. And let me see. Yeah, my family was a nice, quirky, crazy family. Hmm. And my father believed that we should all be entrepreneurs.
Wow.
So I sold bags of candy and Snickers and Coca-Cola and things like that before I was of legal working age.
Get out.
And I always just had, I just always had this idea that, there's no reason that I shouldn't be able to kind of make my own money and call my own shots. So that was something instilled in me at a really young age.
Yeah, but what a solid foundation, huh? Wow, what a great foundation.
Yeah, it was solid. It was crazy because my family ain't no joke.
Yes.
Yes, solid.
For sure. Why did you get into acting?
You know, I think that it's one of those things I feel like for performers, artists, you always have it in you.
Yes.
You just have it in you. And I think that certain people realize at a different age when they're going to pursue it. But most people that, are artists or writers or whatever, they say, I knew when I was a kid, even if they don't start until they're 40, 50 years old.
Right.
For me, I went to an audition in elementary school. And I had seen such great examples TV actors, and I grew up watching I Love Lucy with my aunt and grandma and things like that, and I just knew that I wanted to do what they did.
Wow.
And when I got the opportunity to audition, my first role was Dorothy, which is, I imagine, a lot of actresses' first role, Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And I got to the point where they were like, "We love you. Can you sing?" And, I didn't consider myself a singer in elementary school, but I closed my eyes and I belted out that note and I got it.
Really?
And that was that.
What?
That was that.
Was it Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
It sure was. It was Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I said, I can just talk my way out of this. I can act my way out of this. They said, nah, girl, you're going to sing.
Wow. That's amazing.
But yeah, and then at that moment, after being on stage with that, I couldn't. It was a point of no return. You can't be on stage and then get off and not want it anymore.
Wow. So you had no other role models who were actresses beyond what you saw on TV?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Wow. For actresses in my family, my mom is super creative. My mom also is a writer. So she encouraged our creativity, but I didn't really know any actresses.
Yes.
I didn't, that were close to me.
Wow.
We were just a really, really creative family, and we would put on living room shows and with music and we did the most.
Wow. So what does your family think about your acting, career now?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that they're pretty excited. They're pretty excited for where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And they're excited that I did what I said I was going to do.
Huh.
I was blessed.
Yes.
I was blessed to not have one of those families with the ultimatum, like you're going to study this or you're not talking to the family. It wasn't one of those situations.
Okay, because I know, again, from what you were telling me, it sounds like growing up in Prince George's County, people were professionals, doctors, lawyers, teachers, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. So but you said, well, you know what? I want to be an actress. And like, what?
Yep.
Actress. but they supported you.
They did. Wow. They did. I think I've got a really kind of can-do attitude, and I had that from a young age. And I think that my parents knew that I was going to do what I wanted to do.
Yes.
And so it was kind of like, let's get on board and be supportive because she's going to do it regardless. We might as well stick it out and encourage her.
Yes. She's going to do it anyway, so let's support her.
She's going to do it anyway. She does what she want to do.
So when you decided to make this move to acting, you moved to Los Angeles. How tough was
I
that?
I did.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, looking back on it, I just didn't realize. Some people say it's such a tough thing or it's a courageous thing.
Yes.
Again, it's just one of those things where when I was younger, I said, I'm going to be an actress. And so and for me, it was a matter of New York versus LA.
Oh,
and, I decided at the end of the day, as much as I love theater, I wanted to start off in, and pursue TV and film. And I felt like more of that immediately was LA. And, I worked hard. I've always worked a lot of jobs, a lot of different things, even in college while I was studying acting. I would, you know, bring my script to work, you know, and I'm like helping to run a restaurant. I got my lines in the back.
Yes.
And I was saving up money so that when I graduated, there was nobody that I had to wait for or, you know, to get permission from.
Right. Wow. But it must have been hard to earn a living while you were in L.A. In a totally new environment, right?
Yeah, totally new environment.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that when you get to L.A., everybody says, girl, you got to be careful. It's going to be fake people. It's going to be fake.
Yes.
And what I realized is you just attract what you put out. It's just like anywhere in the world.
Wow.
If you put out good energy and good vibes, you know, it's not to say that you're not going to meet people that don't have your best interest at heart, but my core circle, I quickly developed an LA family, if you will. And you need that out here because there's so many people that are like-minded that just kind of packed up everything and moved. And they're looking for people that, you know, that are a support system away from home. And, you know, I got that out here.
Wow. So how long have you been out there?
Every year I try to say, oh, you know, going on 3 years. And then I realize I'm going on 7 years.
Seven years, really?
I know.
Nice.
It didn't feel like it.
Yeah, I know.
It time flies, and when there's no seasons, there's no real distinction of no seasons out here.
Don't
so
don't rub it in. All right, don't rub it in. There's no seasons.
Oh, no, I miss the fall. I miss the fall, and I miss the spring. Man. I don't miss the...
I bet you don't. I like to listen. But you know, that what was your first acting role that you landed since you've been in LA? What was your first acting role?
Since I've been in LA. Oh, you know what? The first acting role was on this show. I played this character named Letitia. And it was on a show called Bells. And Bells, it was a short-lived show on TV1. But I was especially excited about it because it got me in front of so many amazing people. Ed Weinberger, who was, you know, he did The Cosby Show for years and years and years and countless other shows. He brought me on to that show. He saw me, he saw something in me, and he put me on that show and gave me my start. And from there, you know, I met casting directors from that show, a really amazing one named Phaedra Harris, who's helped me along my way in L.A. Huh. And then I met, you know, a lot of core people. I worked with Keith David on that show and Elise Neal.
Yes.
And Miguel Nunez. But that was my first role in Hollywood.
Wow, that was pretty good. That's pretty good. How hard has the auditioning process been for you?
The auditioning process for me, I think the hardest thing about the auditioning process in LA is just auditioning consistently. And I found that, you know, a lot of times my idea was, oh, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to get this agent. And this agent is going to get me on all these amazing auditions. And that's not always the way it works. You know, once you're at a certain level, of course, auditions start, you know, coming in quicker. But I found that somebody told me, actually, I didn't find this on my own. Someone told me that if your agent receives 10% of what you do, expect them to do 10% of the work.
And so, wow, that's a good point.
You know, and so it kind of shifted my reality. And I was like, okay, I need to actively be approaching casting directors and actively, you know, getting my face out there and networking. Huh. And so my thing has been, even though auditions haven't always been consistent, they've always bore fruit. Because I typically, once I get in a room, I got the room. I got to get in the room. So that's been my experience.
Wow. So are you aggressively promoting yourself?
Oh, for sure. And it's one of those things, you know, you don't like to do that. I'm not going to say nobody. A lot of people don't like to talk about themselves. Like, hey, watch what I'm doing.
Yes.
but out here, you got to. And it's not about bragging or, you know, versus humility. It's just about, this is what you came here to do and you need an audience.
Yes.
You know, in our field, we need an audience, you know?
Yes.
It's not like the hospital where people come to you for a service. You have to promote yourself and show what you have to offer. And so, yeah, I do. I do promote, and I'm excited to promote all the projects I got coming out now. It's such a relief and a payoff.
Yes. Interesting. So how important is social media to you and building your brand?
Oh, it's super important. And it's, again, it's one of those catch-22s because we've watched the casting process out here shift to, oh, wow, this is just a really great talented girl, to, she's a great talented girl, let's check her numbers.
Yes.
And so,
Wow. Yes. That's what I'm
and
getting.
that, you know, and
Yes.
yeah, you know, I'm sure. But it plays such a huge role.
Yeah, so Twitter, Instagram, all that's important. Facebook, all that's important to you.
Well, yeah, everything but Twitter. You know, I'm one of those people, I try to tweet. I don't even know where the buttons are half the time, but I'm on Instagram constantly and I'm on Facebook constantly and I make myself available, you know, for just through different mediums. I'm usually on other people's stuff too. I don't have a Snapchat, but
Yes.
I'm always doing the Insta chats and stuff like that. But yeah, you have to have a presence. You just kind of have to have a presence on there so that they can see what you're doing, what you're working on.
Yes, for sure. Now, I've watched some of your videos just to kind of do some research on you. And obviously, most of what I saw, probably 95% or 98%, has been you doing some type of comedic comedy roles. You know, you're such a natural with
Yes.
that. And even talking to you, you know, to
Oh.
interview, I get it. You know, you love to laugh. You love to be funny. Right?
Thanks.
For
Yeah.
sure. For
And you know,
sure.
it's I didn't that's something that I never really thought because, you know, coming from Howard and being trained in theater and, you know, in Shakespeare and all these different techniques you get out and it's so funny. It's so funny how seriously you take yourself when you come here. And it's just like these are the roles that I'm going to be. And then they're like, girl, you funny. We're about to put you in this comedy.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of became a natural, you know, part of my process, I guess. But even with that, as much as I love comedy, you know, it's always good to shake it up. And I'm excited that I've got some roles coming out, even now that show me in a completely different light. So I'm
Yeah.
excited for people to see a different side.
Which is interesting because now I understand you have a movie, an erotic thriller called The Providers. What's that about?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the Providers is actually it's something that I shot with Denise Harkavy. She's a super talented writer director, and it's based on a true story of, you know, women. And I'm
Yeah.
one of the girls, and the lead woman is our pimp, and it's the story of how she basically protected these girls in the game, and then was kind of a mentor to them. And my character is the one that basically is the hardest to control. Think Taraji in Hustle and Flow.
Yes.
I'm
Oh,
kind of
okay. Yes.
my
Wow.
character is a little bit like that. But it's yeah, like these women are living women and they blessed us kind of with their stories and real things that they went through. And so we shot it and it was super exciting. Shot kind of like a backdoor pilot that I know she's still pitching, and so I'm gonna see what happens with it. But yeah, the cast was amazing, phenomenal actresses, and it's like I said, a great writer director. And my character is Coco.
Coco, right.
Coco.
How do you get Coco from the net, huh?
yeah, look, I've played a lot of crazy names. They actually did a world premiere. They did a world premiere for The Providers
Wow.
on May 4th. And then I know that that's when they had, and I was actually out of town for the world premiere because I was promoting my other project, Illicit, that
Yeah.
just came out theatrically.
You want to talk
But
about that?
they did the world premiere May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all kind of waiting to see what happens there because what we're hoping is that we can get a series. But, you
Really?
know how that goes. We just do the work and we wait to see what happens.
Exactly. I know. We gotta, but you have to put it out there, right?
You gotta put it out
Gotta put
there.
it out there. But so let's talk about Illicit, okay? Talk about that. Tell me more about that and your co-stars and what it's about.
Sure. Illicit, super, super, super excited about it. As a matter of fact, it just came out on video on demand. So watch
Wow.
it, watch it, watch it.
I
It just
will.
came out yesterday.
Really?
Yes, yesterday. We
Okay.
opened, we had a limited theatrical opening in Chicago. And what Illicit is it is an erotic thriller. And it's a thriller that I co-wrote and I'm also one of the stars in it.
Yes.
And I co-wrote it alongside the amazing writer-director Corey Grant.
Yeah.
And it's the story of, you know, a nice, solid Black family.
Hmm.
And it's a good relationship that they're in. It's just the timing is just kind of messed up. You know those moments where you're in your relationship and there's just one thing you would change about your partner or just one thing that they're not giving you?
Yes.
When those things happen at the same time, the temptation, it just kind of lurks out there. And
wow.
It kind of lurks out there until it becomes so attractive that you want to bite the apple. And
wow.
Illicit is about both partners considering biting the apple at the same time, which is, you know, different than a lot of things that have come out where just one person messes up or one person is the villain.
Hmm.
This story is watching how a marriage can go from completely sane and perfect and enviable to you can barely hold it together, you know, in a matter of just a couple quick incidents. And so the cast is McKinley Freeman, who's an awesome actor, and he also is one of the producers. McKinley's on Hit the Floor, Daytime Divas.
Wow.
He just appeared on Scandal. And then we've got David Ramsey, who everybody knows is from Arrow.
Right.
And Dave Ramsey's been around, you know, for doing amazing work forever. It's Essence Atkins, Vivica Fox, Dean Cain, Michelle Weaver, and Shireen Crutchfield. So, and Vincent Ward from Walking Dead as well. So it's a crazy, crazy collective. And it's a collective that people have seen together on screen before. And the reactions have been, oh my God, I thought this film was going to be one thing, and it completely took me on a different ride.
Really?
So I'm excited.
Now, yeah, I saw some clips of the previews of the film, and it really did pull you in, you know? It really pulled you in. Now,
good, I'm glad.
Oh, definitely. Now, you wrote this film?
Yes. I'm one of the writers. It was myself and Corey. Just two writers on it. I write often. I've actually got a couple other things that are that we're shopping right now. But yeah, I write, and that's one of those things. Like I said, you gotta go get it out here. You gotta go get it, and so I'm a creative. So you know, I create.
Wow, I hear you. I mean, I know there's a lot more to you than comedy. That's for sure. than a pretty face. I know there's more to you than a pretty face. That's what I really want to say.
Oh.
Now, are you also a director?
No, I'm not a director.
Okay, not yet. Okay.
I am not a director. You know what? You might have hit that one there. Not yet. No, I write and I act and I produce, but my heart is with acting, and everything else that I do so that I can support acting, and I do it so that I can, you know, bring it, because the world opens up when you can produce and when you can write and when you can write with specific people in mind. And when you can, you know, produce with people in mind, because then that means I get to bring other people that are talented and that are just one role away, you know, into something, into my world, into something that I'm creating. And so that's what I mean about just being blessed to have like a really good team of like-minded people out here.
Yes.
But yeah, everything I do is so that I can keep acting and keep, you know, keep this dream going.
Mm, amazing. Do you find that you enjoy the doing thrillers or dramatic roles as opposed to comedy, or you'd like them both equally?
I like them both equally. Let me see. Oh, God, that's so hard. I would say right now, Lynette that you're talking to right now, I would say I would want to do like a horror or suspense or,
really?
You know, something. I want to do that right now only because I'm hungry for that. But once I get enough of those in my system, I'm going to be like, throw me a comedy. I want to do it all. I want to be one of those, one of my models, let me see, would be like, and it's a guy. I'm sure you're familiar with Don Cheadle.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And for me, Don Cheadle is the epitome of, he can go to character actor. He can go leading man on us in Hotel Rwanda. He can come back in Oceans.
Yes.
The Ocean's 11 movies and be funny.
Yes.
And then he can go, you know, lead a series. That is my aspiration. I want to not be, oh, she's the funny girl, but oh, she's that funny girl and she's that dramatic girl and she's that. I don't love being figured out.
Okay. You don't want to be typecast.
There we go.
There you go. No, I hear you. Very versatile, right? All
Yes.
those words. Okay, excellent. Now, what actors or actresses would you most like to work with?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll start with Don Cheadle for
Okay,
sure.
right.
I would love to work with Charlize Theron. I
Charlize
think
Theron.
that Charlize Theron, oh yeah, and she's got the Atomic Blonde movie coming out now, but I've been a fan since what was
Monsters.
it? Since since Devil's Advocates.
Oh
And,
boy, yeah, that was great. Oh
you know,
shoot.
I'm taking it back. You know,
Yeah,
I
you
like
are.
study. I study my people.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Also, Viola Davis, no brainer. Love,
Oh
love,
yeah.
love Viola Davis's work and her work ethic.
Yes.
Of course, the Kerry Washingtons. You
Yes.
know, Denzel, I would love to either act in something that he does or something that he produces and directs, because I love that Denzel kind of does it all too.
Right.
And you know, I believe that I will. I'm gonna put that out there. I believe I will be, you know, working with him.
Yes.
Let me see who else.
Huh.
Who
Interesting.
else do I love that I'm not saying? I said Charlize. I said Viola. There's Carrie. Oh my goodness, Sanaa Lathan is another actress that I
Yes.
just feel she's been brilliant for a long time. She's been really brilliant for a long time, and I always have admired her work. I'm sure there's so many more. I'm putting on the spot.
Yeah, I know this is off the top of your head, so it's fine. Give me an idea of what's on your bucket list coming up. What is it that you would most like to be doing in the next 5, 10 years?
Ooh, in the next 5 to 10 years,
Yes.
you know what? I would love to be doing something similar to that of Issa Rae. I think that that queen has made her mark.
Yes.
Basically, being able to, again, the same kind of aspirations, being able to bring in her people, have a couple of shows coming out because she's got some things that she's writing, which is what I'd like
Yes.
to do. You know, even things that she's not acting in. And then also be able to act and headline my own show, and then
Yes.
at the same time be able to work on, you know, jump on different movie projects. So I want to have a nice rhythm going on, and I want to be able to call even more shots
Huh.
in the next 5 to 10 years. I want to be able to call more shots that will advance me and advance the circle of people that I know are like the next ones up.
Wow, I love it. I believe you're gonna get there too. I believe it.
Thank
Yes,
you.
for sure. Now, let me ask you, how important is it for an actress like yourself to be healthy?
It is the most important thing. It
Okay.
is the most important thing to be healthy as an actress, not just for what, you know, you want your body to look like on camera, because as you
Right.
know, the camera adds 10 pounds and there's always pressure, you
Yes.
know, about look this way. And the only way that you can achieve basically the way that you want to be presented in a healthy manner is you have to develop a healthy lifestyle. You
Okay.
have to. And it's one of the things that they always, you know, they preach against crash diets and things like that. And what
Yes.
I found is I have to find one thing that I love. Like, as a matter of fact, when you and I are finished today, I'm hitting the spin class.
Ah,
And
nice.
it's something that I, you know, it's you got to find whatever it is you love. Some people hate the gym, so go hike. If you hate hiking, find a spin class. You know, do what it is that you have to do. But working out and eating well, oh man, my habits changed when I got to Los Angeles. I didn't
Wow.
know that it wasn't normal to not eat the cookie dough and all
Wow.
the buckets of the cookies and, you know, and the
Yes.
things like that. And
Yes.
you know, there were certain things that I did in excess. And although, you know, I'd never been overweight, it wasn't healthy. And the only reason it had been overweight is because, you know, my metabolism, I'm young. My
Right,
metabolism
yes.
hadn't caught me yet.
Exactly.
But it's one of those things that you wake up, you have to drink a lot of water. I've learned to like water, which, you
Good.
know, you couldn't tell me that a couple of years ago.
Yes,
And
okay.
then just constantly moving. It's so
Okay.
for I mean, I think it's if you're going to work 14-hour days sometimes, which you do on
Yes.
set,
Wow.
you
Yes.
can't rely on unhealthy eating habits and unhealthy lifestyles to kind of get you through. You'll burn out.
Yeah, but it's so easy to loot to get off track because, you know, sometimes you just want to grab whatever food's available on set, correct?
Oh, it's Oh, Crafty is the devil. Crafty on set is where they keep all of the snacks.
It's the
So it's
devil.
the Oh yeah, it's the devil, and it's there, and it calls your name. But what I like is that there are other options, and then once you learn to look for those options, you start seeing them. Because right beside the cheez-its and the honey buns, there's
Yes.
usually like some nuts. There's
Really?
usually, you know, some fruit. There's usually, but you know, who's looking at that stuff when there's honey buns?
Yes.
So,
Yes. So there are some healthy choices there if you look for them. So that's good.
it exactly if
Okay.
they're there, and you know, and that's what you're finding, because so many people love to make the excuse, well, if I had a healthy choice, I'd eat it, but then they're moving over the bowl of bananas and the apples to dig for the Skittles. So,
Exactly. So, how many days a week do you actually work out?
I work out on regular. I try to do four, like a 4 day workout week, and if I can do more, then I do. But 4 days
Okay.
is the minimum that I'll say, all right, I need to be at least in the gym 4 days this week. And then
Okay.
when I'm not in the gym, I'm still actively walking, or maybe I can't get to the gym because I'm having a long set day. But
Okay.
4 days in the gym is my thing.
Would you ever play, or would you ever take a role where you had to, well, it called for you to gain 20 pounds for the role?
No one has ever asked me that before. And you know what?
Yes.
It I identified with the material and I believed in the project and the vision,
Yes. You would.
then yeah, I would. What I really might do is say, all right, you guys, I'm gonna gain 10, and can you fat pad the rest? But you know, I
Yes.
would gain, of course I would gain weight for a role. If you know, if that was gonna help tell that story, or if I was, especially if I was playing somebody, you know, who lived and breathed,
Right.
then I would want to do justice to that character. So for sure.
Okay.
And then I would hire a personal trainer immediately
Yeah, that was my next
to
question.
get back on track.
Would you hire a trainer to get rid of it? Of course. Exactly. Exactly.
Immediately. I mean,
Yes.
I'm sure it would feel like what, like how, I mean, I've never had kids, but I'm sure it might feel like, you know, what you have to go through after baby weight.
Right. Amazing. Listen, what do you, when it comes to doing a role, let's say you're in the role for the character and illicit, do you become that character? You know, do you become that character, and how long do you stay in character after the filming is over, after that day of shooting is over, actually?
You know what? You start becoming that character, I think, immediately after you break down the script. And once you break down the script, it's just kind of like you're trying to find which pieces of you already identify with that
Yes,
character.
yes.
And so that's your starting point. And then the rest of it is, okay, if I can only meet this character halfway, the rest of it I'm going to have to put on, and I'm going to have to learn mannerisms and, you know, change the way I talk and move, or maybe even the speed of my dialogue. So those things kind of happen immediately. And then on set, I like to stay in character. I like to
Yes.
stay in character, you
Okay.
know, as long as possible on set, and even more so for however intense the role is.
Okay,
So I think that the farther away that a character is from you,
Yes.
you really want to stay in that new character that you've created, because you don't want to fall back to your tendencies, you know, in between a break of the camera and then them calling you back. You want to definitely stay as much that character that you've created as you can. So you want to hold on to that. And a lot of times that might mean being off by yourself or engaging people with the dialogue that you might have created for that character, as opposed to just trying to turn on. And you
Yes.
know, for people that turn on, I've been able to do that too. Again, if a character is close enough to you where you can remember which things to change and how to jump in, all power to you. But not every character you can do that with. Some
I see.
characters you kind of just need to stay there.
Wow, I see. Depending on the character, on the role. Interesting,
Yeah.
interesting. Now, what advice would you give someone just trying to break into Hollywood, a young actor, young actress, just trying to break into the industry, what advice would you give them?
To a young actor trying to break into the industry, I would just say, believe in your gifts. Just believe in your gifts. Like the same gumption that, you know, it took for you to even get this far is the
Yes.
same gumption, if not more, that you're going to need to make it through. Because there are so many people that you know, live all around us in Hollywood, that for whatever reasons they haven't achieved the level of success that they want. And success is so relative, but it's easier for them to tell you what you can't do than to encourage what you're out here to do.
Yes.
And the second you start letting that noise in, all you're doing is prolonging your walk. Because if this is in you, this is in you.
Okay.
This is in you, it's yours. And it's literally, and for people that discover it, like I said, some artists discover it or they go after it later, but it's always been theirs. And so what I know is that if this is what I was put on this earth to do, to tell stories, to help create, and I feel that it is, I'm going to do everything in my power, even against what people say that might be impossible. Maybe now's not your time. Maybe you should have a secondary backup plan.
Yes.
You have to believe with everything from your head follicles to your toenails that this is what you are here for. Wow. And then when you go after it with that gumption, you get it. People go after their 9 to 5 and they put in that time and they get that check because they put in that time, but they can't understand that with this. Put in that time and you're going to get your reward.
Beautiful, beautiful. I absolutely love it. Was there someone there for you, encouraging you, just like you giving some encouragement now to young actors and actresses?
Oh, for sure. I think the first person that encouraged me outside of, you know, my mom and my dad was my uncle. My late uncle Les. You would have loved him. I told him of my dreams when I was young, and he put me on camera as quick as he could.
Wow.
And he was an advocate for, he had a program called Be Healthy Lifestyles in Washington, D.C. And his whole platform was to create an awareness for healthy living and the necessity of healthy living. And his focus was prostate cancer awareness. You know,
wow.
for men.
Yes.
And, you know, so his whole thing was, okay, you can be my Be Healthy teen liaison. You can get on camera and you can talk about, you know, different important things, you know, that people don't know about screenings and getting tested. And he introduced me to the who's who of Washington, D.C. at the time. And I was too young to really, really appreciate what he was doing.
Yes.
But he believed that I wanted something, and he said, I'm going to put you on camera. I'm going to get you started.
Wow.
And he was the first encourager, you know, of my dream. And
Wow. That is
but
so...
yeah. So I had him. And then of course my family, my mom has been epic. She's amazing. She supports every single step. And she flies out whenever she can, whenever I have a premiere. And, you know, my dad's always been on board. So it's good. But I would say it definitely started with my uncle.
Beautiful, beautiful. How can my listeners find out more about you, Lynette Tichelle?
Oh, okay. Well, to find out more about me, you see, I'm on Instagram as Lynette Tichelle. It's LANETT_TACHEL. So it's Lynette Tichelle. And on Facebook, you can find me the same way. And then I have a website, LynetteOnline.com.
Okay.
And other than that, find out a little about me about when you purchase Illicit out on video on demand right now. So turn on your TV and press order. It's also going to be on Amazon and, you know, Netflix a little later. And we're going to hit DET this fall.
Nice.
So look out for it.
So we're going to promote that as much as we can. That is beautiful. Excellent.
Wow.
Lynette Tichelle, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. You've been honestly amazing, and thank you for the questions. It just made me think a little bit. And I'm gonna have to think about that gaining weight for this role, but I think you just put that out there.
Yeah, you're funny. And to my listeners, I truly hope this program has been informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments or suggestions for the show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.